This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The federal government in the 21st century, observing the commercial world in the 21st century, dominated by the cloud. And the cloud is a way of talking about how I learned from Francis Rose and his colleagues at Daily Scoop Podcast, the federal government is now imagining itself no longer as the number one customer because it no longer possesses these global government data centers that used to be in unusual climes and you would visit it by jet airplane. No, the federal government is transforming itself into a participant in the cloud. What does that mean? First, for the DOD, the Department of the Navy in particular, and then for all of the federal government. Francis, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I begin with the DOD, Department of the Navy, where Tom Sisala mentions immediately in conversation about what he's doing to transform the DOD into a digital universe in the cloud, that his work has to be survivable in a contested environment. What does that mean, Francis? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program. Well, it means probably what a lot of your listeners think it does, and that means that the Navy will be going into potentially, or has to be prepared at least, to go into a contested environment for warfighting. And that as it depends more and more on technology and in particular data that it exchanges with its own services, the Navy, Marine Corps, as well as the other services, Army, Air Force, Space Force, that it needs to be able to withstand potential attacks, not just the hardware, but the digital infrastructure does too, cyber attacks and kinetic attacks from whoever the adversary is in the warfighting environment that the Navy finds itself. So that's what Tom and technology leaders all across all of the services are talking about. The Chief Information Officer of the Navy, Aaron Weiss, spoke about readiness recently from a technology perspective at a FedScoop event. And this is what all of the technology leaders across the Defense Department are thinking about, is survivability from technology, from a cyber perspective, the same way that somebody might think about survivability of an aircraft or a tank or a ship.
However, there are some twists here. As Sisala says, the days of centralized information, of one big system, those days are over. So what we have now is, what, cubicles of data? Or how are they thinking about this?
Well, right now, the way that it works is that the sensors that are all over everything now that the department deploys collect that information and send it back via the cloud to HQ. What the military is working on, what I think is really the most cutting edge thing that not just the Navy, but all the services are working on together, is the ability of sensor to sensor for that information to shift. That doesn't have to come back to basically to ground zero through kind of a clearinghouse environment the way that it does now, so that an aircraft that sees something that's valuable to a ship that's in the ocean below it will be able to exchange that information directly instead of that having to come back to home base. That's kind of the state that the department's going for. They're not there yet, but they're trying to lay the groundwork for that now, John.
Tom Sisala is the chief data officer of the Department of the Navy. What does that mean, Francis? What are his responsibilities? I guess he and his team, they're taking the data, a ship number and equipment on the ship and how many people are on board and their health status. They're taking all that data and translating it. Is that what their job is?
There's an incredible amount of data that all the services are gathering, and what the chief data officers in the civilian agencies and in the military services and now in the chief digital and AI office inside the Defense Department, which is where the chief data officer of the DOD overall lives. What their responsibilities are is not just collecting that data, but establishing data standards so that the services can exchange that information, and also curating and collating that data. Those are probably the two most important responsibilities of those CDO offices, so that the services can make sense of what they have and understand what they have. The whole point of this, as explained to me many years ago in this space, was the benefit to a federal agency of collecting data is that then it can ask that data questions and make decisions based on what it gets back from that data. And that's essentially what the military services are trying to do. They're using this data to understand the world around it in whatever the environment may be. And the job of that chief data officer is to be responsible for how that data is collected, collated, curated.
You also spoke with Tim Cook, president and CEO of ASI Government, a former senior economist at the Center for Naval Analysis. And what I learned from Tim Cook is, well, first of all, there's such a thing as cloud smart, smart cloud. What is BPA, Francis? What does that refer to?
So that's a type of vehicle. This is about, by the way, about the wonkiest in the weeds thing that you could have chosen, John.
I like it. The language is all new to me.
That's right. That's why I should have expected that that's what you'd pull out of that conversation. BPA is a blanket purchase agreement, and that's something that generally it's the General Services Administration, although there are other organizations in government that put BPAs in place. But an organization that anywhere in the federal government can use that BPA in order to buy whatever the services or product is that's provided through it. In this case, the one that Tim was talking about was a cloud computing blanket purchase agreement that GSA is developing called Ascend. And that is basically going to be exactly what it sounds like. When a federal agency wants to buy cloud computing capability, they'll be able to essentially buy it off of this blanket purchase agreement, whatever the parameters that are established through that BPA and prices and capabilities, they'll just be able to go right to the vendor, use that and say, we want some of this. That's basically what a BPA does.
I see. That's why you were speaking so casually about it. Everybody knew what it was. I was the one in the dark. Now, Tim does say that he is anticipating, all government must anticipate working in a very heterogeneous environment. I copied it down. And that translates into no longer being the number one consumer of what? Hardware, software? How is he presenting this?
Well, as you alluded to earlier in the conversation, the federal government used to be the number one buyer and consumer of data center technology and essentially server farms. And over the past 10, 15 years, the most recent policy being the cloud smart policy during the Trump administration that you alluded to earlier, the government's transitioned away from that. And they've done everything they can to get out of the data center business and get into the cloud business. And there are many reasons for that. And not least of which being the cost that the government incurs to maintain those data centers. They're getting out of that business. They're getting into the cloud business. And that's what makes blanket purchase agreements, vehicles like Ascend, so important for the way the government does the nuts and bolts of its business.
Here's what I learned from both Cecilia and Cook. There are young people, millennials, I'm presuming, or younger Gen Xers, who are engaged in transforming the federal government into a recognizable digital universe. That is helpful, Francis, because we've had conversations about the difficulty of recruiting younger workers, especially those sophisticated in the language of the cloud or of data management. And these two were inspirational, and they were so excited about communicating what they do every day.
Yeah, there are young people. There just aren't enough of them. And especially for a number of the reasons that we've talked about before, the number of federal employees that are eligible to retire, the challenges that they're having in recruiting, the volume of young people that they'll need, and the problem of keeping them once they get them into the government. Those are all weak spots for the federal government today, John. But there are folks that are doing this work. As federal employees, they're doing a good job, according to people like Tim and Tom. But it's just it's more of a volume problem than it is a presence problem.
Francis Rose is the host of the Daily Scoop podcast at Fed Scoop Radio. This is John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.